Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the other day, someone sent me an article, and honestly, I wasn't quite sure how to take this. It was titled, Strategies for Sleeping in Church Without Getting Caught. This article was full of techniques to help you sleep without getting detected by the pastor from up front. It featured some new practical methods, like sitting behind someone really tall and really wide so the pastor just can't see you. It featured some tried and true methods, like telling others you're simply meditating when your eyes are closed. You're not sleeping, don't worry, you're just tuning out all those other distractions. You're just so focused on the words coming out of the pastor's mouth. It also featured some techniques that, frankly, I think would not work at all. One of the last pieces of advice they gave was to wear a pair of fake glasses with eyeballs painted on them, or better yet, paint eyeballs on your eyelids. If you do that, I promise you, I will notice that you are sleeping. Well, after receiving this article, I decided to look up one of my own that I thought was a little more practical than all of that. That one was titled Techniques for Staying Awake at Church. A lot of good wisdom here. It said if you want to stay awake, take notes, actively listen to what the pastor is saying. If you want to stay awake, look up the Bible verses, he says, in your physical Bible. There's a Bible in front of you right now. I almost guarantee it. If you want to stay awake, sit on the edge of your seat. Don't lean back in your pew. You're setting yourself up for failure if you do that. And lastly, it said, and I quote, if you can feel your body moving toward a comatose state, begin inflicting pain. Ouch. It does hurt me a little bit to think you might have to hurt yourself to stay awake during one of my messages, but if that is you, I do appreciate the commitment on your end there. Of course, soberingly, the article ended with these words, that people are going to just fall asleep no matter what sometimes because they are so tired and they just need to rest. And isn't that the truth? We are a tired people, aren't we? One study found that 55% of Americans say they never feel rested. Not just sometimes feel unrested, they never feel rested. That's over half of us, by the way. Another study found that 72% of Americans who get 8 or more hours of sleep said they felt poorly rested nearly every day. And those are the ones amongst us who are getting the most sleep. We're tired. Who here is tired right now? Who here is tired of being tired? If you're tired of being tired, you should be on the edge of your seat right now because boy, does God have a promise for you. It is certainly noteworthy. You should be looking up this verse in your physical Bible. As you experience this blessing, less pain will be inflicted in your life. It's a promise that we're going to talk about as we continue our sermon series, Good to His Word, where we're talking about the many promises of our promise-making and promise-keeping God. And what has God promised to you today? Well, Jesus said it in Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This promise is so noteworthy to you because it absolutely applies to you. It applies to all, doesn't it? It's for everybody. Come to me, all. Everybody who is willing to come to Jesus and receives this rest gets it. He wants to give you rest from those things that are burdening you, those things that are like a pit in your stomach. You close your eyes and it's all you can think about. Some translations say those things that leave you feeling heavy laden. You close your eyes at night and you're trying to sleep and you keep on thinking about these weights, these things that are weighing you down, what you're facing the next day or the next week or what you faced the previous day, week, month, or year. Jesus wants to give you rest from those things that are weighing you down right here, right now. And all kinds of things weigh us down, don't they? Maybe you're being weighed down by a spiritual matter. Maybe it's a sin you're struggling with or unforgiveness for yourself or somebody else, and you just can't sleep at night. You're always thinking about it. Maybe it's a physical matter weighing you down, the amount of hours you're putting in at work or the amount of hours you're working at home, and there's just not enough hours in the day to get the rest that God wants you to have. Maybe it's an emotional matter weighing you down. Maybe it's some kind of expectation you've placed on yourself or some expectation someone has placed on your back. It's burdening you. Maybe it's an anxiety that you just can't seem to shake. And sure, you've tried things to get rest, haven't you? Maybe you've tried to work harder and try harder and just get ahead so eventually you can rest one day, but you just can't seem to get ahead, can you? Maybe you've tried a substance to get the rest that you know you need to get, but that caused more problems than it solved, didn't it? Maybe you've tried to take a nice long vacation, or maybe you're one of those people that sleep until the last minute hitting that snooze button again and again and again. And yet, you're still tired. You're still burdened. You're still weighed down by so many things. If that is you, Jesus says, I've got a better way. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How do you get this rest? Let's listen to the rest of this passage here. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is making a metaphor here that probably would have been better understood at that time and place. He's talking about the yoke, not an egg yoke, but this yoke that you can see, this big wooden beam up here. It was a commonly used piece of farming equipment. It was a wooden frame that was fitted over the necks of two animals, and it allowed them to work together. Those animals would be attached to each other, and then they would be attached to a plow or attached to a cart, and they were both able to share in the burden of the load. And they could accomplish far more together than they ever could by their own individual efforts. This, my friends, is the relationship that Jesus wants to have with you. He wants you to be yoked to him. He wants you to be attached to him. He wants to take that burden from you. So how do we go to Jesus and get a relationship like this? Well, first off, know that you cannot do that by your own efforts. By nature, we want to separate ourselves from God. God's going this way. We want to pull against him that way. We do pull against him that way. And when we go the opposite way of God, what's that called? That's called sin, isn't it? Isaiah 53:6 describes this. It says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. God's going this way. We're going this way. And yet, despite the fact that we're running away from God, God runs after us. He removes that space that was between us and him. He chases us down, and he takes the weight of our sins off his back, and he puts it onto his own. Yet the Lord laid on Jesus, on him, the sins of us all. And isn't that what the cross is all about? Jesus lives a perfect life, and then he goes to the cross to pay the price that we deserve to pay. He dies on it, the most gruesome of death. But on that cross, he takes the weight of all of our sins, even the worst of our sins, pays the price, and now we no longer have to have that weight on our backs. And now that separation that was between us and God has been removed, and we can have that relationship with Jesus, the God of the universe, that looks like that. So once again, how can I be yoked to Jesus? How can I be attached to him and get the rest that he wants me to have? Well, it's simple enough. You need to declare that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and that the words of Proverbs 3:5-6 apply to him. My confirmation verse, by the way, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. You basically say, Jesus, you are my Savior, and I've tried to go through life on my own. I've tried to lean on my own understanding, and it has left me a mess. I'm weighed down. I'm burdened. I have all kinds of anxieties and worries in many areas of my life. Instead of trying harder and working harder, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to submit my life to you in every area. And Jesus, I'm going to follow where you lead me. I'm going to be along for the ride. To declare this, by the way, in Jesus' time and place, to be yoked to another human being like this, with the words of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6? This is rabbi-disciple kind of language. And a rabbi-disciple relationship was very, very special, very, very intimate. A disciple, by the way, didn't just copy their rabbi or learn a few things from them. This wasn't like a professor where you take a few notes and you say, oh, that's nice, I might do that. No, you tried to copy the entire way of life of your rabbi as their disciple. You wanted to become like them in every single way. To declare that someone was your rabbi meant that nothing in your life was off limits. You were going to submit all things to them. You didn't want to just be like your rabbi on Sunday. You wanted to be like your rabbi Monday through Saturday as well. You didn't just want to be like your rabbi in the way that you spent your time. You wanted to be like your rabbi in the way you spent your time, treasure, and talents. You didn't just want to be like your rabbi in your relationship with your friends. You wanted to be like your rabbi in your relationship with your family, with your enemies, with everyone. It was a very, very special relationship. When you said that you were the disciple to a rabbi, you submitted all things to that rabbi. Now, unfortunately, the areas in our lives where we aren't submitting to Jesus and aren't following him are usually the areas that are leaving us feeling heavy laden and unable to get the rest that God wants you to have. Which begs the question that I'm going to attempt to answer for the rest of this sermon here. What does it look like to submit to and follow and be like Jesus in those areas that so often weigh us down and leave us feeling heavy laden? What does it look like to submit to and follow and be like our rabbi Jesus with those spiritual matters that weigh us down? To submit to him in those spiritual matters is going to look like forgiving yourself. And to follow and be like Jesus is going to look like forgiving others. First, so often we carry on to the weight of our own sin and we don't have to do that anymore. We live out the words of Psalm 38:4. Our guilt has overwhelmed us like a burden too heavy to bear. If that is you and you're struggling with unforgiveness of yourself, Jesus says, follow me. He says, submit to me and follow me to the cross and remember what I did there. Remember that Jesus took the weight of sin so that you no longer have to carry it. His death forgives the worst of your sins. Whatever the most horrible thing is that you've done that you hang on to and you just can't sleep at night because you're thinking about it, God forgives that. He took that weight from you. Don't take it back onto yourself. And in fact, when we don't forgive ourselves, you know what we're saying? We're saying that Jesus' death, it wasn't good enough. Yeah, sure, his death washes over a lot of sins, but have you seen mine? They're too bad to be forgiven. But let me tell you something. God knows better than you do, and he says that Jesus' death was more than good enough to forgive and take the weight of the worst of your sins. God forgives you. Stop hanging on to that weight. Forgive yourself. God does. And speaking of forgiveness, if we're going to be like our rabbi Jesus, that means we're going to need to forgive others, even those who commit the worst sins against us. Jesus is on the cross and he's looking out at the very people that put him on that cross that are cheering for the crucifixion as it happens. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. God wants you to forgive others because he knows it's going to help you rest better. When we live lives of unforgiveness, according to Ephesians 4, our byproduct is going to be bitterness in our lives. We're going to be full of rage and anger. We're going to want to brawl. We're going to be slanderous. We're going to be malicious towards those in our lives. And try getting rest with all those emotions going on. It's probably not going to happen. How do we get rid of those things, as Ephesians 4 says we are to do? By being like our rabbi Jesus, by being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You want to submit to, follow, and be like Jesus with those spiritual matters? You got to forgive yourself, and you got to forgive others. And when you do that, that weight is going to be gone, and you will rest better in Jesus. What does it look like to submit to and follow and be like Jesus with physical matters? What if it's a physical thing that is weighing you down? Well, if you want to be like your Rabbi Jesus, it's going to be involving taking regular, scheduled, physical rest every single week. We're our own worst enemies with this one. We work and we work and we work, and we weren't created to work nonstop. We were created in the image of God, and God rested, didn't he? On the seventh day. And our Rabbi Jesus, he took regular rest too every week. He honored that Sabbath, that third commandment, and we are to honor the Sabbath too. Every Sabbath, Jesus would take time to be in the synagogue and worship God. He would spend time with family and friends, just relaxing, having the physical relaxation that we were created to have. And by the way, Jesus didn't just honor the Sabbath when ministry was a little bit slower. He honored it when ministry was at its busiest, and that's when we need to honor the Sabbath all the more, when things are at their busiest. If you're not taking that full day off for physical, emotional, spiritual, mental rest, it really comes down to a matter of trust. Do you trust that God knows what's best for you? Then take the Sabbath. Do you trust that God will provide for you if you only work 6 days out of seven, that things are still going to get done? Then take the Sabbath. You'll be amazed how much more productive you are in 6 days than seven when you're taking the rest that God designed for you to have when you're following in the footsteps of your rabbi. How can I submit to and follow and be like Jesus with spiritual matters? I got to forgive myself. I got to forgive others. There's a weight gone. How can I do that with physical matters? I've got to take the scheduled rest that I was created to take. That physical weight, it's going to be gone. Christ is going to share in that burden. How about that last one? Maybe you're hanging on to an emotional weight and you just can't get the rest that you know you need to get. Well, what did our Rabbi Jesus do with that emotional weight? He didn't hang on to it himself. He gave it over to God. Mark 1, 21 through 39. It's the story of two very busy days of work that Jesus has. Extra credit if you go home and read that today. It is well worth it. Over those 2 days, Jesus is preaching, he's teaching, he's healing, he's doing all sorts of things. He's worn down physically. He's worn down emotionally. You know what he does to recharge in the middle of those 2 days? It might not be what you expect. It says in Mark 1:35 that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. What would most of us do? If we had that tough, tough day, we'd sleep until the last second, wouldn't we? Because we got to rest and recuperate. But what did our rabbi do? He got up very early, and he gave those worries and concerns over to God, and he was more emotionally charged up than we could imagine. He got that emotional rest that we all need to get. And that's not the only time he does something like this, by the way. When he's facing the emotional weight of the cross and the cup of God's wrath, while his disciples are over there sleeping, trying to recuperate, Jesus is giving those worries over to God. He says, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." He says, "God, carry this load for me, or empower me to carry it." And that's exactly what God does for his son, Jesus Christ. And we're called to pray just like that. "Lord, take this from me, or empower me to carry it." And God honors that prayer. He wants us to do this. In 1 Peter 5:7, he tells us to cast all our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Don't just hang on to them. Give them over to him. And when you do that, what does he promise in Philippians 4, 6 through 7? It says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As you give your worries, those emotional weights over to God, it says that he takes them and that he replaces them with something far better than what you're hanging on to. He replaces it with his peace that surpasses all understanding. What an amazing thing that is. And I'd be willing to bet that many of you here have experienced just that. How many times have I heard people saying, "Pastor, I feel so bad. I was praying last night and I fell asleep." Isn't that what this is right here? As we give those things over to God, He gives us the rest that we need to get. And what an amazing thing it is that we have a God, the God of the universe, that wants to be yoked to us like that, that wants to share in the burdens, that wants to take them from us. And so with all of that in mind, my prayer for you this week is this, and it's a prayer that I want us all to actually pray together as we close out this message today. I think it ties together everything, at least somewhat nicely. If you would pray with me, "Lord, reveal to me the areas in my life I'm not submitting to you. Reveal them to me and then empower me to entrust those areas to you like my Rabbi Jesus did. And may I receive your promised rest in Jesus' name. Amen."
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.